Air Sport has announced the details of the 2020 Allianz League's coverage. Over 7 different weekends, Air Sport will broadcast a total of 15 football and hurling games. That coverage kicks off on Saturday the 25th of January with the home of Saturday Night Live GA action broadcasting 3 matches across its channels. Now, to kick off the campaign, we're going to have a repeat of last year's All-Ireland football final. It's going to be Dublin against Kerry. Among the players involved will be Dublin forward Paul Mannion. And Paul, no better way to start off Division 1 of the Football League than a meeting with your great rival Kerry on the first weekend.
Yeah, exactly. As you say, no better way to start the campaign. I'm sure it'll be a good game and a nice repeat of the All-Ireland final, as you say.
What's the off-season been like? I think you're just back from Bali a few days now.
Yeah, I got back Saturday morning. Had a great off-season. It's probably my longest now in a couple of years. So I had all of November, December to relax and recover. And then, yeah, nice couple of weeks in Bali to top it all off as well.
Is that something you actually have to have? Because it's obviously a long campaign year after year. You've had 6 years, you know, injury not permitting. You've been pretty busy over the last 6 seasons. To actually maybe switch off and recharge the batteries ahead of another campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. I think even coming towards the end of the last season, I was starting to feel a little kind of niggles here and there just from being kind of so long without a longer kind of break. So I think definitely thinking long term and towards the end of the season this year, the break will certainly stand me in good stead. And yeah, feeling 100% now.
What was your feeling in late November when the news broke about Jim Gavin?
Yeah, I was surprised. It was a little sad to see him go. Obviously he's been great for the team and great for us as people. Huge amount of success with Jim, but we've kind of put that to bed now and said our goodbyes, if you will, and I've met with Desi and got stuck into training already, so I think Desi's going to bring a lot of kind of fresh ideas to the table. We're all familiar with him and what his management style is like, so it's going to be exciting too.
Is that the hope that will ease the transition? Because many players in this panel would have played for Desi on successful Dublin minor and 21 teams. I guess a lot of you would know what he's about before he even comes in.
Yeah, certainly. I think that it'll help us and it'll help Desi. He's made clear to us he's not coming in to try and tear up the playbook as such. He's going to look and kind of observe how things have been done over the last few years and kind of bounce ideas off us and use the kind of experience of the older players as well to help them going forward. And then as time progresses, he's going to make his own print on it. I'm sure. Tons of experience himself. Obviously, he's won All Ireland's at minor and under 21, and himself as a player too. So he is certainly a good pedigree behind him as well.
It's, I guess, in some ways a shorter run-in than some counties, given that you guys are just back from holidays. Your fringe players played in the O'Byrne Cup against Longford last weekend. Is that a disadvantage getting ready for the start of Division 1 of the National Football League, that maybe you'll have less collective training together than some of the other counties who've been working for over a month?
Yeah, I think so. I think we do try and kind of keep ourselves in relatively good shape throughout the off-season, so that we're not leaving ourselves too much to do to catch up with coming back in January. But certainly a lot of teams have been training for a while now, and they'll be going for us. So we just got to make sure that the little time we have, that we're making the most of it and focusing on what we can do and trying not to think about what other teams have done.
Just in terms of Jim, what did he bring that allowed you to be so successful over the period that he was in charge? Particularly, no manager has ever done 5 in a row. To keep that kind of high standard, to keep that hunger there, to be able to go 5 consecutive seasons winning All-Ireland championships at a time where you can test the league every year and you're also winning Leinster back-to-back as well. What was it about Jim that just kept that constant drive for success going?
It's probably hard to sum up in a few short words, but he's just, like, he brings just a ton of kind of leadership qualities, as well as brilliant football management knowledge. I think it's been spoken about a lot, the kind of culture and the environment he created. It's probably a little cliche at this stage, but that probably can't be underestimated. I think how he fostered that environment between players and how he kind of brought the group together. how he challenged us to challenge ourselves and to constantly kind of look to reinvent and improve ourselves was something that was just it drove us on kind of year after year, that kind of just search for how we can get better and better. But yeah, overall, look, it's very hard to sum him up, but a brilliant manager, and yeah, we'll miss him for sure.
Was it a surprise to you when he announced that he was going to leave? Because I was talking to Conor Callan at the All-Stars and he thought it was kind of everything was set for him to still be in charge for next year. The Dublin County Board had indicated they expected Jim to be getting ready for Division 1 the league. When you got the news, were you surprised?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised, just kind of given the time. Maybe if it had been announced earlier on, it might have been as much a surprise. But he obviously had a lot of things to think about. It was not an easy decision for him at all. If it was, it would have been made sooner, I'm sure. But he just wanted to make sure that his decision was going to be the right thing for him and for the team. And but look, we've kind of put that to bed now. And I'm just looking forward to getting going under the new management.
Will you miss not having Bernard Brogan around?
Yeah, definitely. I was texting him yesterday saying I'll miss not having him alongside me at the back of the runs. but he's also, look, apart from being a brilliant player, he was a massive leader amongst the group, and particularly last year when he wasn't like playing regularly, he was always one of the hardest trainers, one of the loudest kind of voices in the dressing room, always chatting and helping out younger players and players that would have been starting even when he himself might have been in the team. You know, it could be easy to kind of drop the head a bit and shy away, but he never did that for a second. So definitely gonna miss having him around a lot.
He was saying to us an off the ball last September when he was still weighing up the decision. He was saying, look, I've come to an understanding. I'm not an automatic starter anymore. It may well have to be a role from the bench or a limited role in terms of the amount of game time I'm playing. But if I can add anything, it's to try and make sure that the six guys who are down as starters are being kept honest. They know that I'm on their coattails. Were you always aware as forwards that, you know, if you had an off day, Bernard is there waiting in the wings?
Yeah, 100%. And he said himself after the All-Ireland that the last kind of few weeks of the campaign last year were probably his best. Like he was absolutely flying in training, and that was even seen kind of carry through into club championship. He was banging in goals for Plunkett's too. So still a seriously like potent threat as a forward, and kept us all on our toes, as did many other forwards. That's always been one of the strengths of our team, is that kind of depth that we have. That we have people that are always kind of pushing players on and forcing you to get better and be on your toes.
Well, with Bernard and Owen O'Gara stepping away, there was lots of speculation about what was going to happen with Stephen Cluxton. Mm. Officially last week, we kind of had Jack McCaffrey in here saying that he was pretty sure and that Cluxton would be ringing him if he was wrong by saying that he'd be back for next year. But then Desi Farrell told us on Friday he's 100% back in and committed. We saw him even down in Longford in the team jacket at the weekend watching on. Mm. It must be great to have him there, because I think it's fair to say that Stephen Cluxton is a player who has revolutionised a position, not just in terms of the way he's played, but he has made goalkeeping different. Even the guys who have come through are now trying to be Stephen Cluxton. That's how much of an impact he's had on the game of Gaelic football.
Yeah, we're blessed to have him. I didn't even realise really that there was so much talk around him potentially not coming back.
Blame the media. It's all our fault on this.
Yeah, well, just from chatting to him and observing his kind of behaviour just amongst the group over the off season, I never got any kind of indicators that he might have been looking to step away, even when Jim stepped down, he was very vocal in trying to get us refocused and looking to the next season. So that to me was a sign that like he wasn't there just for Jim, or he wasn't there just to win Football of the Year or five All-Irelands or whatever, that he's in it to go as long as he can and to help the group for as long as he can, I guess. That's the hunger and the drive that he has. So, he was there last night training as well and just encouraging, shouting lads on. He'd be out for a while with a bit of an injury, but Certainly as hungry and as determined as I've ever seen him, which is great.
Does that set standards for the panel as well? Because you think Stephen's been there for 20 seasons now, and you know, he's been a frontline player during that whole period of time, a big leader within the team as well. He's still keeping himself, not always in goals, but in great nick at 38 years of age as well. That's a remarkable professional right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like he's one of the hardest trainers, and at 38 this year, like he'd still be one of the fittest and most active, I guess, out of all the players. He's just an extremely hard worker. He's first to train and last to leave. So, when you see a man like that who's been there for so long, push himself that hard, it certainly leaves us with no space to be complacent at all.
I was chatting to Kieran Kilkenny a few weeks after the final, and I asked him what was his emotion when the whistle blew at the end of the replay against Kerry. And he admitted it was relief, probably as much as enjoyment, because he said that he can't help but be aware of all the talk around five in a row, especially after the drawn game, all that kind of hype going in toward the replay. What was your feeling when the full-time whistle blew on the day?
I don't know, I felt a bit of shock almost, just kind of like it was hard to kind of take in all that had just gone on, and all that year of the amount of talk around five was impossible to avoid for most of the year, and I suppose we knew the significance of it, and this part of the things like, geez, can we do it, can we not? And then once it was done, it was just like, well, it was quite a nice moment, but hard to take in all at once. But relief is another good way of putting it, I guess.
Jim will talk about the process at the time, and he'll talk about game by game, and that was always kind of the line being trotted out. But as players, you're saying you were very aware of the five in a row. At what point, all year?
No, I mean, we never really spoke about it openly, only that we'd speak about it to try and address ways of how we can avoid letting it get into our heads. It wasn't something, I don't think, that motivated us massively, but something that we were just constantly aware of to try and calm ourselves and keep us focused as such. You know that the talk is going. You have friends, family, people all around you. You know what it means to people. You kind of just have to accept that. Yeah, it is a big deal for them, and it's a nice kind of narrative and a storyline. But for us, it's just something we need to kind of block out and focus on what we have to do right now, and that's what kind of got us through the season, I think, yeah.
And there were some questions that had to be answered along the way. Mayo really put it up to you in the semi-final before you put in an outstanding second-half performance, and the first day against Kerry, you were at the pin of your collar many times during that game as well. Those moments of adversity, I guess, tell you a lot about a team and a group, don't they?
I think that's not the only kind of time we've kind of been through that as well. There's been many kind of times down through the years. 2015, when the year kind of started, there was, you know, two games against Mayo, and we were almost, you know, dead and buried. Mayo could have beaten us then. 2017 again in the final, backs against the ropes, like the red card decisions, if that had gone wrong for us, it might have been very difficult to claw it back out. 2016, the semi-final against Kerry, there's loads of these kind of moments that you could pick out, and I think all those little things kind of stood to us in those last 5-10 minutes against Kerry in the first final last year, and you could see that in the substitutes that came on, like said, Kev Mac, Dermo, just chasing ball, getting turnovers in those last few minutes. It was incredible to watch, and certainly I think was crucial to getting us to claw back that point in the first game.
Are you very aware at the age of 26, given how much you've won, collected three All-Stars along the way in these All-Ireland titles, that you're playing in a very special period to be a Dublin player here?
Yeah, I think it is something that, look, we're all enormously kind of grateful of and feel enormously lucky to be a part of. And I suppose it's when you talk to families and to former players, to Dublin supporters, and they tell you how much it means to them, that's really when it rings home for us. So we're hoping it's not quite done just yet.
Tell me about the decision you made. I think it was about a year ago to give up meat.
Yeah, I was chatting with Lucas earlier on. I was a couple of years kind of thinking about it, and I went kind of vegetarian for a month or so, giving up meat, and then after a month or two, just took the plunge to give up kind of dairy and eggs and stuff as well. So it wasn't supposed to for kind of health benefits. I think it would give me an edge in training, but probably more so from the point of view of a more kind of sustainable diet, and that's what kind of led me to it in the first place. But it's been going fine since. I think our nutritionist told me I was a little bit worried at the start, but no, I haven't had any kind of negative impacts from it, and all's going fine, so I'll keep going with it.
Because I was just thinking, nutritionist is probably saying to you, eggs, chicken, get the protein in, then you're removing them from your diet. What did you replace them with?
I felt myself eating just a lot more of the good stuff, like you're eating a lot of kind of vegetables, of course, but like legumes, beans, lentils, stuff I wouldn't have eaten so much of before, tofu, tempeh, seitan. There's loads of really, really good, nutritious kind of meat substitutes out there at the moment as well, that would replicate like burgers and kind of sausage and stuff, which kind of sounds disgusting to normal kind of meat eaters, but my housemates at the moment are always kind of tasting all this food, and they're all kind of surprised at how good it actually tastes. So it's been fun. Like, if you kind of get creative with what you're cooking and what you're eating, and I found it to be pretty beneficial, I think.
And this is kind of, I guess, part of a wider thinking from your point of view about just the world being more sustainable. Then I was reading, you know, you felt that we have to be more conscious about the impact that we're having on the world.
Yeah, I hate to be a bit too kind of preachy about it. I think I just kind of turn people off when I go on rants about it. But it was just kind of on my conscience for a couple of years. I think reading more and more about the crisis, I guess, that the climate is in at the moment, and ways that we can kind of help on a small kind of practical level. So for me, the easiest kind of change that I could make was to my diet, and I think just by kind of talking about it with people, I think people have become more kind of curious and interested by it, and I have a few friends and family that have kind of changed their diet, or just at least been more kind of open to talking about what they can do in other ways, and if nothing else, to talk about it with their friends. I think the more people talking about it, the better, I guess. Yeah.
Have you been trying to get some of your teammates to make a change as well?
I haven't tried at all. I don't say, as I said, like, if I become too preachy, I think I just turn people off. So I just tell them about my experience, and generally I find the less I say, the more kind of questions people ask, and just tell them about my own kind of observations, my own experiences. Haven't been like a year or so through it now. They've you'd be surprised, like a few other lads have cut down on me, but yeah, you don't need to cut it all out completely. Like, I think if everyone just did a little bit less meat or whatever, gave up whatever they could, then the better. So
as an athlete, usually sports science is what people study when they go to college. Thought it was quite interesting. Your undergraduate degree, which you read for in UCD, was a bachelor's degree in international commerce and Chinese. Was it thought that eventually you might end up working in China?
So I spent a year over there, and then by the end of the year, I was pretty determined to go back. But no, I think that dream's long since died. I'm in a job now in Dublin that I love, and living with friends. So, enjoying things here at the moment. I'd love to go back and visit China again at some stage. But at the moment, I couldn't see myself going back to work or live. Yeah.
How do you find that balancing act then between what you're working at the moment? Because you're currently working as a business development representative with Lucre. And then you've also obviously got an intercounty career to go on top of that as well. What's the balance been like between the two?
It's not too bad. I think, look, every kind of GA player now has some kind of balance to make, and we've all got jobs or college commitments, and something I've kind of grown up trying to balance. It helps to have employers that are understanding. I think everyone in work is pretty understanding as well. You just got to be on top of it and manage your time properly. It's over the last couple of years, I've managed to do that pretty okay. So
we've got some experimental rules coming in with the National Football mm-hmm. League as well. So your first exposure to them is probably going to be when the league comes around in a couple of weeks' time. Advance Mark, obviously been talked about a lot in terms mm-hmm. of forwards. Jack McCaffrey was saying he wasn't a big fan because there's potentially the unintended consequence of a diagonal ball just in front of the 45-metre line, which mm-hmm. referees might find hard to manage. In a general sense, what's your feeling on the Advance Mark?
In general sense is that it's I'd agree with Jack now. I don't think it's going to have the desired effect, but I can understand the kind of the intent behind it. I just don't think that we're going to see a whole lot more like ambitious crossfield passes plucked out of the sky. I think that's what the idea was when they brought in this rule. But I think what we'll see more of is just really basic 30-yard kick passes into space that are then being rewarded with an open shot at a point. And I think that's just too much of a reward for basic enough kick pass executed well. I just think you'll see a lot more kind of stop-start scenarios and like potentially games being decided by just a simple mark from a kick pass, whereas usually a kick pass into a forward would just lead to more excitement, forwards taking on defenders. Look, of course you're going to see that too if it's not caught clean, but it'll take some time to get used to, I guess. It could turn out to be a great thing, but on first impressions I think it's a step backward probably. Yeah.
Have you been doing any specific training around it? I appreciate you're only just back to training now, but has Desi been looking at it from a tactical point of view already?
Not really, no. But I suppose the team, where we would last year for the league when it was being trialled, we'd have just discussed it and kind of practiced it a bit. But in the end, we kind of just came to the conclusion to just play our normal game and don't be trying to force passes too hard. Don't be trying to force it into the hands. Like myself being a corner forward, I know I'd still rather a ball into space with a one bounce and I'll back myself in there to make some space for a shot or to take on my man. So if you start doing things too drastically different, you'll probably end up just kicking ball away. So but again, look, we'll learn more and more about it as the league goes on. And
I think naturally as well, given Dublin's style of football, you like to recycle possession, maybe work a few phases before space comes in. It'd be very unusual, unless it's a counter-attack, for you to play a long diagonal ball in the air anyway.
Yeah, I think...
not your natural style, really.
I think that's the way most teams have gone now, and that's probably why the rule has been brought in. They want teams taking more risky, ambitious passes. Might have that effect, but I think... as I said, teams will still be looking for a simple kick pass, 30 yards, and if they can get that, you're rewarded with a free kick, basically. So, it's hard to see. We'll see how it goes in the league, manage it from there.
Paul, I'm sure the concern for the year will be to try and win yourselves a sixth All-Ireland title in a row, but you'll be on Air Sport against Kerry, start of the National Football League coming up on Saturday week. What's the hope for Dublin for the National Football League? Is it to be as competitive as you possibly can at this stage of the year?
Yeah, exactly. Just to try and perform at our best. That's all we really concern ourselves with. If we can perform from one game to the next, we'll put ourselves in good contention to be in a National League final. It's an extremely tough competition at the best times, and coming back a little bit later in the year makes it extra tough, but it's exciting. We love playing these games. We love going on the road in winter time, and I think Dublin supporters and supporters around the country really enjoy the National League games. So, just dying to get going now.
Well, Paul, the best of luck with the training over the next couple of weeks and getting ready for that mouth-watering game against Kerry on the opening weekend.
Thanks very much.
And of course, Air Sport will have coverage of the National Football and Hurling Leagues across 7 weekends. They're going to show 15 games across the two codes. The coverage will kick off on Saturday, 25th of January, and it will be the home of Saturday Night Live GA games, broadcasting 3 matches across its channels.